Let's open our Bibles once again to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We have been talking about the open hand of God, bringing about unusual, supernatural, extraordinary provision to those who will be watching for it, expecting it. Amen. How many of you are expecting it? Amen. Now that's important. If you don't expect it, then it's not likely you will experience it. Amen. Expectation is much like faith. Real Bible faith expects God to do something. People that tell me they're living by faith, but then they say, but you know, you never know what God will do. I'm not sure that's really living by faith, because real Bible faith expects God to do something. You know, somebody say, well, I know he's able. Well, that's wonderful. But you need to take it a step further. Get to the place where you say, and I know he will. Yes. I know he's able, and I know he will. Yes. He can, and he will. Yes. There was a man that came to Jesus one time and said, I know you can. I'm just not sure if you will. And Jesus said to him, I will. Straighten that out real quick with two words. I will. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So if he will back then, he will today. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? All right, Psalm 145. Let's look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Drop down to verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Now this is where the Amplified says, watching, looking, expecting. Watching, looking, and expecting. That's important. That's how you position yourself to experience what God says he wants to do. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So once again, when you see the phrase, the open hand of God, or God opens his hand, most of the time it is significant or represents provision. And God not only provides, but he does so supernaturally, extraordinarily, and unusually. Can you say amen? Uncommon. He's not the God of just enough. He's the God of more than enough. Right. Amen. I like to say he's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. Amen. Okay. Amen. Now, I want to read from the Passion Translation, beginning in verse 13. You are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. That's good news. That's encouraging. If you can find a promise in God's word, and the Bible's full of them, then know this, that God is faithful to fulfill every promise that he has made. Well, right here it says he opens his hand and fulfills the desire of every living thing. That's his promise to you. Amen. Amen. And what do we know about his promises? He's faithful to fulfill every one of them. All he's asking from us is, dare to believe. Amen. Amen. How many believers are in the house today? All right. Then verse 16 says, when you open your hand, and once again, this is from the Passion Translation, when you open your hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longing of every living thing. So when God opens his hand, it's full of blessings. Expect when God opens his hand, blessings to come to you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, what you need to learn to do is expect it, and then as a point of contact to show that you truly expect it, then lift your hands and say, and I receive it, praise God. Amen. I receive it. I learned this a long, long time ago when Brother Copeland has prophesied over me, Brother Hagin, Brother Roberts, a number of people that I trust in their ability to hear the voice of God. And they'd say, Brother Jerry, the Lord has given me a word for you. And when they pronounced it or delivered it, sometimes it was beyond what my mind could comprehend. I remember one time in Philadelphia, 1981, Brother Copeland was doing a three-day victory campaign there. And I wasn't scheduled to speak with him in that meeting. We had just come out of a meeting in Charlotte, and I'd had that visitation of the Lord in that meeting in Charlotte, and where God taught me about sowing in famine. And I knew Brother Copeland was going to be in Philadelphia. And Carol and I decided we just wanted to go and be in the meeting. So I called him. I said, we're gonna fly up to Philadelphia and be in the meeting with you and Gloria. He said, well, there's no need both of us flying our airplanes. Why don't you just fly with us? So we flew up there with him. And I was just going to be in attendance. We're just sitting on the front row receiving. And it was a great meeting. And then he preached that opening night on Thursday night. And then he said, now, in the morning, I want you to preach. I said, I didn't come to preach. I just came to receive. He said, no, you're not sitting in this meeting and not preach, you know. And I said, well, if you want me to, you know, I learned from Oral Roberts, if you insist, you know. I told Brother Roberts one time I'd like to buy him a new suit. He said, if you insist, you know. And so I preached the next morning. And after I got through, I was going to walk off the platform. And then we were all going to go to lunch. And then he was come back for an afternoon service. But before I could get off the platform, he said, wait a minute, Jerry, the word of the Lord's come to me. And he prophesied over me. And it was a lengthy prophecy. In fact, I had my secretary at that time transcribe it, and then the art department put it in some nice lettering and framed it, and I put it on the wall in my office, so every time when I'd be home and I'd go in my office, the first thing I'd do is read that. And it was quite a prophecy. And some of the things he said, at the moment he said them, my mind couldn't grasp it. It was bigger than my mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so I would read it, and then I'd lay my hands on it, and I'd say, by faith, I receive this. And I kept doing that and kept doing that until all of a sudden it didn't look so impossible anymore. Amen. That's how you mix faith with the word preached. If you're wrestling with it in your mind, just keep saying, I receive that. By faith, I receive that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that the word did not profit them or benefit them because they didn't mix faith with it when they heard it. So the way you mix faith with it when you hear it, even if it's beyond your comprehension at the moment, just say, by faith, I receive that. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. And one day, your mind will catch up with your spirit. Amen. You'll say, hey, that's possible. Yeah, this is possible. Now, some of the things he prophesied, I mean, they looked impossible when he said it. But over a period of time, it no longer looked impossible. I was expecting it. And I'm pleased to announce to you that everything he said has come to pass. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And at the time he said it, it did not look possible. It was beyond my comprehension at that time. But I kept saying, I receive it. So lift your hands right now and say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you want to open your hand and pour out blessings on my life beyond my comprehension, supernaturally, uncommonly, extraordinarily, by faith, I receive it. And now give the Lord your best shout. Amen. Now, once again, when you open your hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longing of every living thing. Now, verse 19, let's drop down to it. King James says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And verse 20 says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. Now, the Common English Bible says it this way, God shows favor to those who honor him. God shows favor to those who honor him. And then the Message translation adds, you lavish your favor on all. Everything God does is right, and the trademark on all his works is love. Now notice the Message says, you lavish your favor on all. How many of you know by now, favor is my favorite subject? Amen. 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 You remember that commercial? I don't know what they were advertising, but this guy, he's an extremely wealthy man, and he has this little miniature giraffe. And the little giraffe walks up to him, and he says, opulence, opulence, I has it. I got a hold of that, and I said, favor, I has it. Look at your neighbor and say, favor. I has it. You say, that's not good English, brother. You're just as country as I am. Just say what I said. Amen. That might not go over well in England, but we're not in England. We're in Crowley. Amen. So say it again. Favor. I has it. Amen. So notice, I'm going to read it again because favor is my favorite subject. And every time I see it in the Bible, my antenna goes up. The Common English Bible, God shows favor to those who honor him. The Message translation, you lavish your favor on all. Now, the word lavish means characterized by extravagance and profusion. Now, from that, I heard in my spirit, get ready. Not only is God going to open his hand and provide for us extraordinary, uncommon and supernatural provision, but he is also going to provide for us extravagant favor. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Extravagant favor. Now, once again, the word lavish means extravagance or profusion. So I wrote in my notes, get ready to experience extravagant favor. Now, the word extravagant means unrestrained. And it also means beyond what you have experienced before. Now, if God is about to show me extravagant favor, because I experience favor in some way every day of my life. Ask anybody who knows me well. How many of you remember the old TV series, The Real McCoys? You remember Grandpa McCoy? He used to say all the time, no brag, just fact. I walk in the favor of God. I walk in the favor of God. I experience it in some way every day of my life because I expect it. And it's not because I'm so good, it's because he's so good. But he taught me how to walk in his favor way back in 1969. It's the first thing I learned on my own. I didn't learn this from Kenneth Copeland. I didn't learn from Kenneth Hagin. And I didn't learn it from T.L. Osborne, nor did I learn it from Oral Roberts, who were my four mentors. It's something God taught me. I'd never even heard of the phrase prior to that, the favor of God. If I had, I probably would have said, who has favor with God? How can anybody have favor with God? That's probably the way I would have reacted. But one morning, he said to me, I'm going to teach you how to walk in my favor. And there will come a day when your name will be known around the world for the favor of God that's on your life and ministry. And then I'll hold you responsible for teaching others how to walk in it as you do. I wrote that in my journal, 1969. Now, I didn't run in there and tell Carolyn, guess what? Nor did I go to church the next Sunday and say, guess what? My name will be known all over the world. You don't tell that to people when you're 3 months old in the Lord. They said, yeah, right. And I got some ocean property in Phoenix, Arizona, I'd like to sell you. You know? No, I just kept it in my journal, just kept it to myself. And then God began to teach me about the favor of God. And then I realized, and he pointed it out to me. You know, I learned this, and I probably learned it first of all from Kenneth Copeland teaching on how to meditate God's word. I'd never heard that phrase before. If I'd ever heard the word meditation before that, I would have associated it with some other religion, you know. But he said, meditate the word. And then he showed me in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, thou shalt meditate on God's word day and night. And it's a Bible word. Those other religions got it from God, okay? So he taught me how to meditate the word. One of the things he said was, don't try to read a whole chapter or a whole book at one time. Just focus on one verse. And he gave the example. For instance, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he said, now, don't try to swallow that whole thing at one time. Just focus on sections of it. Start with my God. Just meditate on that. My God. Wow, my God. Make it personal. Man, I just spent the day thinking about my God. My God. Wow. My God. Not Kenneth Copeland's God. My God. Not Oral Roberts' God, which was the same God, but my God. This is my God. My God shall. What? He shall. He shall do what? Supply all my need. Wow. You spend the day on that. Supply all my need. All my need. Oh boy, at the time I started meditating that, he's got his hands full. And I had a lot of needs. I was in debt personally, and I was still in debt with the business I'd owned. And I'm endeavoring to get out of debt. And so my God shall supply, not might. And it didn't even say he can supply. It said he shall. Amen. That takes it beyond his ability. Now we're talking about his love. Amen. God shall supply all my need. Glory to God. I'm getting happy already. Just sitting there in this little bedroom on Trainee Lane, Shreveport, Louisiana, 1969. I'm getting happy. I'm getting excited. And yet, nothing had changed out here. Now, boy, everything had changed on the inside. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You got to see it happening on the inside before you see it happening on the outside. And so, I learned to meditate that, meditate the word. I remember reading stories about the ministry of Jesus, and particularly the story about the man at the pool of Bethesda. And the first time we went to Israel, and I had meditated on that story so many times, I could almost see that man's face. The Bible said he'd been crippled all of his life. People took him down there, perhaps on some kind of stretcher. And they set him at the pool of Bethesda. And the legend was the angel would come and trouble the water. And whichever person got in first when the angel troubled the water was healed of all their diseases. And Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and went right up to that man. Now, the Bible doesn't mention that he went to anybody else there that day. But he went to that man. And the Bible says that this man had been in that condition 38 years. And Jesus walked up to him and said, will thou be made whole? Now, I'm meditating this. And I can see Jesus walking up to this man. I can almost see the man's face. I can see the crowd. I can see it. I can picture it on the inside. I had spent so much time meditating that. When we got to Israel and they took us to where the pool of Bethesda was, it was exactly the way I'd seen it on the inside. And I'd never been there before. But I recognized it right. That's the pool of Bethesda. Amen. So you meditate the word. Don't get in such a hurry. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you read in a day. It's what you got out of them that day. Amen. There's a lot of people, they've read the Bible. I heard one man say, I've read the Bible 50 times from Genesis to Revelation. But when you heard him talk, he didn't get anything out of it. Just religious tradition. Amen. Amen. So spend time. Just close your eyes sometime and focus on Psalm 145. Thou openest thine hand and it's full of blessings. Wow. Just sit back and picture that. Come on. The Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Picture yourself walking up to the throne of grace. You know, the first time I endeavored to meditate, Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. The first time I endeavored to meditate that, I saw myself in this long, long line. And I'm at the end. And I kept looking around this line and not moving. Dear God, by the time I get up there, you won't have anything left. And then I saw Oral up there, Billy Graham. Dear God, I just want rent. They probably want millions. But the more I meditated on that, I noticed there was nobody in line. I had God's total attention. I saw Jesus sitting at the right hand. And he said, you know, bring your petitions to him. And so I made my petition. And the Bible says, Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. I saw Jesus lean over to the Father and say, give it to him. Then I saw the Holy Spirit go into action and make it happen. Hallelujah. That's good. Amen. Now, you don't get that kind of stuff just reading chapters and the whole book at the same time. Take the time to meditate it. And you'll notice when you go to the throne of grace, there's not another soul there. God's focusing on you. Amen. You don't have to stand in line. And they're not going to run out before you get there. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Praise God. All right, now, get ready to experience extravagant favor. Once again, extravagant means unrestrained and beyond what you've experienced before. So I was about to say earlier, if God is about to show me favor beyond anything I've ever experienced before, as much favor as I've already experienced, dear Lord, what does he have in mind? Because I'm known around the world for the favor of God. You've heard me say it before. I get introduced in many places I go as Mr. Favor, Dr. Favor. Let's welcome Brother Favor. Hallelujah. Favor, I has it. Tell somebody again, I has it. Now, another translation says, he satisfies everyone with favor, goodwill, and loving kindness. So, I want you to look at somebody and tell them, get ready to experience extravagant favor. And we're talking about in the midst of chaos and disorder. What better time to experience it? When they're all screaming worst of times, we're going to be having our best of times. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Benson commentary tells us that he will give us remarkable instances of his favor. Remarkable instances of his favor. And the word remarkable, I love word studies. I endeavor to break it all down. Remarkable, unusual, uncommon, and noteworthy. Another definition is rare. I wrote in my notes, God's about to do things for me and for those who will not be shaken by the chaos and the disorder. Some rare manifestations of his favor. I also put in here, what you and I are about to experience, most people won't. Amen.
Amen.
Now, they're going to mistake it for luck, but it's not luck. It's the favor of God. Hallelujah. Am I helping you this morning yet? All right, now, most of you have heard me say, and I want to repeat this, that my favorite subject in the Bible is favor. It's not only my favorite subject, but I especially enjoy walking in it. Experiencing it. Amen. My life is a continual testimony of the favor of God. Recently, I was studying, and there's a phrase that jumped out at me that I want you to look at in Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Let's begin in verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Is anybody in here got their trust in God? Well, maybe we ought to do what he just told us to do. Shout for joy. Amen. Because thou defendest them. Let them also love, or that love thy name, be joyful in thee. Now, verse 12 says, and we've talked about this in times past, teaching on the favor of God. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, let me read this to you from the Passion Translation. But let them all be glad, those who turn aside to hide themselves in you. May they keep shouting for joy forever. Now, listen to this. Overshadow them in your presence as they sing and rejoice. Overshadow them in your presence as they sing and rejoice. Then every lover of your name will burst forth with endless joy. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Now look at this. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. Did you know you have a canopy?
Glory to God.
A canopy. Now, let me define canopy. One definition is a shelter. A shelter providing protection. Now, one other commentary I read referred to it as an umbrella of protection.